on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. And good evening, good afternoon, and good morning. Welcome to 2012. Happy New Year, everybody. Here's the year that we've been waiting for. All these years. So many prophecies, so many, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and we're all going to die, and we're all not going to die, we're all going to turn into fluffy balls of light, or we're not going to turn into fluffy balls of light, and everything's going to be the same as it will be the next day, and things will be changed. From it's such an uncertain kind of year. And then there's the whole remote viewing thing, you know, the remote viewers who would sense and see between any time and any other time apart from December the 12th. December the 21st, 2012. So it's a very interesting time. It will be when we get there. I'd like to make this a bit of a conversation. So I wouldn't mind if anybody would like to converse with me, if you want to Skype in, and if you have anything to say about. Really, what we're talking about is all the prophecies that have ever been made about 2012. And what I'd like to do is sort of get a gauge of how likely or possible they might be with our conversants. So if anybody would like to join in, I know I've got Dave and Tracy in the chat room there. If you want to join in, do be my guest. You know how to find me. And until that time, until anybody does join in, I have to say I burned my hand this afternoon. I scalded it on the steaming vegetables, and it was a very, very hot scald. And my hand is kind of throbbing and hurting quite a bit. And so every couple of minutes, I have to turn it upside down and put it in this soothing, cool bowl of cold water. It is so it's just nice. It's the, and I suppose in a way this is it's a metaphor for our life. You know, we're heated up and heated up and heated up until we have to jump in the pool and cool down again. And that's how you temper steel, isn't it, as well? So perhaps we're finding out how to become hardened to all the shocks and surprises of the years. So, just having a look. Is anybody wanting to call in? No? Oh, well. Tracy, I have great admiration for you. You managed to fast for 2 days last night and did this amazing reading, series of readings that were absolutely mind-blowing and heartbreaking, and for me quite heartwarming. I didn't listen to what you were saying with Gerald and Dave and earlier, so I look forward to hearing your archive from there. But it's going to be a very interesting year on Wolf Spirit Radio, I think, and from Tracy's reading for last night, it seems it's going to be a very, very interesting and challenging, but ultimately rewarding year. So that was a really interesting thing to connect up with. So, good evening, Sophie. Yes, we're Let's start with what I was going to be talking about. 2012, all the prophecies. There are so many prophecies, biblical, because people think that that's connected. There's Nostradamus and all of those things. And I think some of them are very, very unlikely. And also some of them are quite likely. And probably there's some other things that we've heard about 2012 that aren't common prophecies. They're, you know, perhaps insider information. I would like to make it a dialogue. It would be nice to speak to anybody who's listening to the show in the chat room or elsewhere. To call in, my Skype number is jeremy.perron on Skype. Jeremy, Jeremy, .perron. I ought to get a JP one, shouldn't I? Yeah. Maybe I'll get a JP Skype number. So, here we are. Do I have a 2012 focus? Well, that's really what the show is about. I was going to talk about the many prophecies that have been made, and prophecies, predictions, and forecasts. Tracy did some superb readings for people. Extremely sugar-free, no added colourings, flavourings, or preservatives. pretty spot on, I hope. I hope the ones that you made for me were really spot on, and the ones that you made for some other people not so spot on, because they were pretty challenging ideas. But it was a very interesting show, nevertheless. There's so many, and there's also other prophecies about some kind of future in many traditions, and a lot of people have placed those prophecies also in this year, in this 2012 year. So let's deal with the most extreme case, or one of the most extreme cases. Thank you, Chris. The most extreme case is the, like, as they have in the 2012 movie, there's complete destruction. Have you seen 2012, Joe?
Yeah.
All right, hang on a second. Hello, Chris. If you could just hang back a minute. Hi there. Yes, thank you. Give me a second, because I'd like to speak with my son about a film first, but you should be able to hear what he's saying as well. So, Joe?
Yeah?
This is my son, Joseph. Can you just describe... You've seen 2012, the movie, haven't you?
Yeah.
Can you just describe what its scenario is? Because I haven't actually seen it.
Basically... a failed rider takes his children to Yellowstone. They see a whole lot of cool, like, army activity there, and they see this childish guy, and they see this crazy guy in a caravan who runs an internet radio show.
And really?
Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, the world's gonna end. You have to get your family and stuff." So he goes back to whatever big city, I can't remember which one it is. And he gets his family, and as they're driving back, like, a huge earthquake happens, and all the land is, like, just collapsing around them. They just manage to get onto a plane, and then they fly back to Yellowstone, and at which point there's a super volcano. They get the map, and it turns out they're building, like, these arcs in China, and basically they just go to China, basically.
All right, so the future is in China.
Or in Himalayas, where they're building them, because it's the highest point, and that's where, like, the final tsunami that was going to hit them is going to be, like, the weakest point. So.
All right. And that's that advert where you see the monks.
Yeah.
And they're all ringing the big bell with the great big
thing. And then the wave.
And then the wave
obliterates them.
Yeah. So there's not much hope there, really, is there?
No, but if you've got, like, a girlfriend or something, you're fine.
Oh, really?
Because, like, everybody that's single dies.
Oh. Oh, it's a family film, then.
Yeah. If you've got children, you're even better, you know.
Yeah.
Even better outlook.
Great. Okay, well, you better hang out, then. hang on, Chris, hang on. Nobody could hear you. Say that again.
Okay, because it's China, you can only bring one.
You can only have one child. Thank you very much, Joseph. So anyway, there's my son. he's buried himself back into the tiny screen that he's got on his Android, and he's watching a full-scale movie on that. Isn't it amazing? you can be having two completely different experiences in the same room nowadays. Or more. So, yes, greetings. Excellent. Nice to see some good friends here. Good evening, Violet. Good evening, Sophie. And good evening, Chris Vortex. Hello.
Hello, I'm here again.
You're here on Ever Beyond, and it's Beyond 2012. We're now here at the prophecy stage, right? At the place where all the prophecies have pointed. So tell me about a prophecy that you've heard of about 2012.
Well, I'm not really into prophecies, to be honest.
But surely you've heard one, you know.
Yes, I've heard all sorts. I mean, there's the alien intervention thing. There's New World Order up in their game. There's divine intervention on we're going to have more support, we're going to become more intuitive, things are going to speed up more and more, and it's going to be very fun and interesting. I think it's going to be quite fun, especially for us guys who have gone through our spiritual journeys.
Well, who are on our spiritual journeys, it's all a journey.
For me, I feel like I've gone through something and come through the other side.
Yeah, you've gone through the entrance exam, lad. Really, honestly, it's the entrance exam. But it's a step along the way, you see, because in general, most people have no idea whatsoever. But I'm pretty sure that this year that's about to change, and things are going to get very, very interesting from our perspective. Our meaning those of us who have already taken one or two steps along the way of coming, essentially coming to our soul expression, and that's what Ever Beyond is about. It's about soul expression, which is like from the inside to the outside.
We're learning to speak from our heart now.
Yes, and learning to tune in, because that's what the heart can do. The heart is that's the amazing thing about the heart is it tunes in. I don't know if you've ever noticed that when you're with another person, very close, very intimate, your heartbeats will entrain one to the other. Actually, to the one who's got the strongest heartbeat. So, let's hear for you, what do you think is the most ridiculous prophecy about 2012 that you've heard that is just absolutely unlikely?
I think the end of the world is unlikely. I think us being taken over by reptilian beings is unlikely, although I think they probably do exist, to be honest. I think the New World Order winning is not going to happen, I think. But we have to keep on going, and I think every day we're going through lifetimes of stuff and evolving faster and faster. Well, I'm speaking for myself, I don't know about for others, but it's very interesting and very exciting, and well, I guess I haven't heard this one, but I don't think it will be Dell. I don't know if you've heard anybody suggest that.
Sorry, Dell?
Dell. I don't know if anybody suggested that 2012 will just be Dell.
Just a normal, everyday, day, year, lifetime. Well, I suppose there are some very, very dull people in the world who don't notice anything. And for them, possibly, it's going to be dull. But I don't think it's going to be dull for the rest of us.
No, well, I don't know if it will be dull for them. I think people will be shaken up out of there. People will have to see what's going on eventually, soon rather than later. It will show itself to them. Probably sooner than later for most people. I mean, surely if war ends up happening with Iran, then people have got to. There's going to be a sign for people, isn't it? Surely.
Well, did you say that war doesn't happen with Iran?
If war does happen, which looks very likely, even in positive timelines.
I think possibly it would be recognised that it's not war, that it's an invasion by the Federal Reserve, and that this is the last time it's ever going to happen on this planet. That's the outcome I'd like to see.
Well, yes, hopefully the wars will not last very long. Hopefully if war does start, then people will say, nope, we don't want this, and then it can stop. So if war starts, then maybe that's not such a bad thing. I don't know, because at the moment we have undeclared war, so at least if war is declared, then it makes people wake up a little bit. That there is war going on, and then maybe we can stop a few things.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, let's get things right. There will be no war, because a war implies that somebody is trying to encroach on somebody else's territory, and that's what war's about. This is an invasion. This is just picking, this bullies picking on kids in the playground because they've got gold. That's what it is. And it's sick, and it's disgusting, and it's a waste of life, and a waste of energy. We could be feeding the world for the amount of money that would be spent on that thing, the daily amount that gets spent on these invasions. And it's just absolutely wrong. And we have to stop it.
Yeah.
It's got to be stopped. It's got, you know... obviously, now, protest doesn't stop, protest doesn't stop politicians from doing it. There's got to be other ways. We've got to stop their money coming in. Start it at source. However we do it, we have to stop politicians from waging war, because they obviously are not fit to wage war. You know, it requires some serious being adult kind of thing to do it properly.
Or everybody instead of going to a protest, spreads the word, so it becomes holographic, so the message spreads across the country and then across the world.
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, but yeah. See what happens.
So, thank you very much, Chris. Do you have any other forecasts or prophecies that before we move on?
I just think it's going to be a very, very good year, and I think we're going to bring some very interesting things into our lives, and we just need to clear the blocks that are in our way, and I think by the middle of the year we should be creating some very interesting things, stepping into our power.
Mhm. Jolly good. So let's have a look here. So the reason I keep on asking these questions, Chris, is because the remit of this show was 2012. Here we are, or here we be, and as I said, here we are, and this is what it's going to look like. But many people have said this is going to happen or that is going to happen. So I'm just going to move forward with some of the things that people have said, and one thing that you also mentioned was the fake alien invasion. Now, one of the ideas
doesn't necessarily need to be fake.
Yeah. But one of the ideas that has been sort of passing around the internet over the last few years is that that there's some kind of time, what's the word, deadline that has been placed before the powers that be, that they can do what they do until this deadline when someone's coming back. Who might this someone be? Now, Cliff Hire. Are you familiar with Cliff Hire, Chris?
I recognise the name, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Half Past Human, the web bot guy.
Yeah, I recognise
Cliff
that.
Is a very, very intelligent man. Very, very intelligent, well educated. Although he didn't go to school, he was he's well educated himself. And one of the things that his webbot says is, and I love this little grouping. He groups information that he garners from the web using his spiders. There's a classification of information that comes through the woo-woo zone, the twilight zone, as it were, and when they were trying to make it up, what do we call this entity here? You know, because they've got entities like global population and world population, US population, things like that. He said, "Oh, I don't know, maybe just the smell of the fart of some goat from space." So that they called this thing the space goat farts. And in the space goat farts entity for 2012 forecast is this idea that there is a nasty, bad, giant space alien race, or maybe there's just one of them, who's coming back on the 2012. Have you heard anything about that? Or anything from anything that is similar to that?
I'm a bit stunned by that. I think that's probably the most interesting that I've heard.
Right. So when you look at the return of the nasty bad space aliens, you might be talking about those beings that they called the Anunnaki, or the Nephilim, or the fallen angels, or depending on your paradigm, you could say demons from hell above, whatever. That it might be a good idea to learn about these people and learn how to stay out of their way. That, I think that's probably the best. Alex Collius. Sorry?
Sorry, what were you saying?
I was just going to say that Alex Collius says the best thing to do when dealing with large reptilians is to just not be in their presence at all. Yep. If you see one, run.
So, yeah, well, we'll keep getting more information and spread it when it's necessary to do so. If some people somewhere see that there's reptilian beings coming out of spacecraft, then spread the message, and then we'll know about it. We'll put it on YouTube.
Well, I'm sure that the revolution will not be televised. There's this old Gil Scott Heron line that says the revolution will not be televised, and in the 1980s when he wrote that, it was probably quite true, and he had probably no concept about the idea that something like YouTube would exist. And from what I can understand and what I've kind of derived for myself is that the global consciousness is essentially expressing itself currently as YouTube and Facebook. This is the way that individual brain cells of the planetary consciousness can connect with each other.
We can watch two people somewhere in the world talking about something on a level we'd never find. If they had a drive out, we're finding the big guns, and then we can come across another interview with two other big guns, and then we're very quickly gain knowledge that other people took 50 years to gain.
Yes, the speed of information is moving so fast nowadays. like you said, people used to write to each other. I remember, you know, it's like somebody wrote me a Christmas card this year, and it was really written from the heart, and they said some really beautiful things about me, and it really hit me, the energy that you can actually send using a piece of paper and a pen. That when you actually focus on something for a significant period of time and you put energy into it, that energy is transmitted. So when somebody sends you a card that doesn't just say, you know, Dear Chris, Merry Christmas, Jeremy, you know, XXX, it would be, you know, an individualized verse or prose or something like that, that it really makes a huge amount of difference. And that's something that we kind of lose a bit with text messages and things like that. But I think also we gain a bit with a kind of instant telepathy. You know, you almost know. You just think about somebody because they're thinking about you and they're sending you a text message. You know, it's a very instant thing. Or you can tell, you know, when somebody's online, you can talk to them, or when somebody's online, they're busy and they're doing stuff, and you just leave them alone.
Yeah, you get the sense of their status.
Yeah. Sophie, you practicing your invisibility again? It's interesting. You mentioned the Cliff High thing about March being the crunch time or the rocky time. This is one of the things that he said that over this period in the Space Goat Farts about 2012 is that from a period around March or May or something, sometime, one of those M months, until certainly significantly into 2013, that there's this gap. He calls it the data gap, and it's been there ever since he started. And for some reason, there's just this blank. It kind of, the data peters out, goes blank for a while, and then kind of trickles back in. That's a very interesting attribute. And then he says that March is a kind of deciding time for humanity. You know, this is the time when we either fight what it is that's coming, or we, you know, just say, okay, let it happen, let's see what happens.
Well, I feel now things are feeling more and more interesting every day. I mean, by March, it may not feel that strange for ships to be landing, to be honest. I mean, every day things for me are speeding up twice as much as the day before, so it probably may not even tomorrow may not be that strange.
Yeah.
Ships come down.
Yes, that's the thing, is that eventually it will become just like, you know, I remember when I was a kid, seeing a jet flying above London was a very exciting thing. You know, I was a kid though, you know. Because in those days we had propeller planes, which made a different sound. And they were changing over from propeller planes to jet planes. I flew, when I was a kid, I flew on a propeller plane across to Canada. You know, unheard of. What a horrible journey it was. But anyway, I was 6 years old, and you know, we flew in it was a turboprop, but it was propellers, and it was before jets. So we're probably going to experience the same sort of wonder when we see these new ships coming in, and it'll be like, you know, it's really like a lorry. You know, a truck that has got produce in it. That's what we're going to see. We're going to be trading with these planets, and they could be bringing us some very interesting spices. Imagine all these edible foods that are of different colours. That would be really cool, wouldn't it?
I guess so. Yeah, we'll see what they bring.
You know, because that's what you do when you open up borders, is you trade. And so, you know, we'll have things that we grow here, or that we make here. Don't know. Saddles. bicycles.
Yeah, we'll give them some horses as well, not the saddles.
Yeah. You know, I'm firmly believe that animals that exist here exist everywhere. You know, here's like a bit of a zoo. You know, that they concentrate all the different varieties of animals here. And we got a different variety of, you know, of humans here as well.
Did you hear Andrew Bashaga's stuff about how there are all sorts of hybrid mutant beings on Mars?
Oh yeah, all that weird stuff with fellows. Yeah,
Minotaurs
too. The old Minotaur, which I believe that the Minotaur was a failed Atlantean experiment, or maybe a working Atlantean experiment of crossing a man and a bull. It's genetic modification. They don't like it. Nobody likes it. It's a bit silly, especially with food. You know, you shouldn't mess about with food. It makes people hurt. Talking of hurting, my hand is slowly getting better, but I do have to keep dipping it into this bowl of cool water.
What happened to your hand?
I scalded it this evening. I was making dinner, and I poured some water into a very, very over-hot pan, and the steam just came straight up and scalded my hand, from the back of my hand. Anyway, I'll be fine. Don't worry about me. I'm just letting everybody know so that I can have a large sympathy vote. That's what I need on this. Like, start off the year with a good dose of sympathy vote.
Well, it will get better from here.
Thank you, Rob.
The hand will be in a very lovely place by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that if we just think of something really nice that we want, or a positive outcome, and then click our fingers, and then forget about it, and just let it happen, or think about somebody and think of them in good health, snap your fingers, forget about it, move on.
Mm-hmm.
Just let things happen, don't really worry about it too much. Just open your heart and feel the most positive thing that you can.
Hope for the best, and carry on. Carry a wand.
Yeah, I don't think it's even hope. I think it's just we've got no time now to worry about things, and we just need to just keep pushing forward. We can fall back a bit every so often, but we need to get up and brush ourselves down and keep going.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things. I mean, certainly in my life, I've had to experience, you know, being wiped out and then rebuilding. I've had bike crashes where I had to kind of learn to walk again and learn to do all that stuff again. Emotional crashes and all sorts of stuff. So I think that's part of what humans are really good at. I mean, we have this idea that we want the world around us to remain around us in the same way, exactly the same form around us forever. And to be really honest, that's an incredibly childish way of looking at things. We have to learn to adapt to the world rather than make the world adapt to us. And I think...
But also, new possibilities are opening up which weren't there before. And to some degree, it was logical for us to close ourselves off because the world really wasn't a nice place very often. But now we're all starting to have more opportunities for ourselves and for each other, and if we can open up now in this time of opportunity, we can all sorts of amazing stuff can start to happen. So now is the time to really start to let go, I think.
Yeah, really. Well, it would have been nice to have started to let go several years ago, but to be honest, nobody was ready at that time.
Exactly.
The world, you know, we need to be shaken up, and perhaps that's what earthquakes are there for.
Well, we're in a good vibrational place now to attract the right things that have gone through all sorts, and we're pretty strong now, I think, in the whole. There's lots of very strong people, and we can start to bring amazing things into the world, and our numbers will grow.
Bonjour Marseille. We have a listener from Marseille. I know exactly. Happy New Year, Ellie. So interesting. We're now at 8:30. So I think I'm going to play a little tune, Chris, and let's see what happens. So this tune. Oh yeah. Let's have that one. This is good old Beatles, Across the Universe.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing me.
Change my world. Nothing's gonna change.
John Lennon, the Beatles, and Across the Universe. I love that song. That's an unusual version. That's one of the earlier demo versions that they recorded using some backwards masking techniques. And we have here on the line Chris Vortex, all the way from Birmingham. How far from Birmingham are you?
About 20 miles.
20 miles. Are you on the Wolverhampton or Dudley side?
Do you want me to give you my exact location or something? no, well, more to the Dudley side.
So you're near Dudley?
Yeah.
I've been to Dudley. I did a computer course in Dudley with CompuServe.
Mm. I actually went to Beatles, whatever cover group. They were playing there, and also David Icke's son Gareth Icke was there.
All right.
So I sat with him there.
Yes, very very friendly place, Dudley.
It's fairly interesting in a dull way.
I was being nice, but you know what I mean is it's like it's quite a very normal kind of place. Very kind of normal, sort of normal British, that it kind of rains quite a lot, and people are kind of relatively downtrodden and downpressed. It's very kind of normal Britain. The house that I was staying in was positioned exactly underneath a 10,000 volt power line, and I was wondering why I couldn't sleep. God, the atmosphere is electric.
You could feel the energy.
So, where were we?
You were talking about 2012, and I'm not really too versed on that. And then we were moving on to what were we moving on to?
Well, I don't know. Well, actually, what I was, 2012. Here we are. The topic of the show is 2012. Here we are, right? All these years we've been having 2012 prophecies. 2012. This is going to happen. So, like we said, the worst case scenario is this big thing like they had in the movie, where the whole world gets sloshed backwards and forwards, and tsunami waves roll all over the land, and we're all completely wiped out, apart from a few people who happen to have a girlfriend. So, maybe it's the old Noah's Ark thing, But there's other scenarios. But a lot of them have been, what has been termed doom and gloom, in that everybody's going to die kind of thing. And one of the things they also talk about is this thing called ascension, where, from what I understand, everyone's going to die. Have you heard about this?
I've heard different things about that. I've heard that the Earth might split into two or three even. So ascension could be moving to another dimension. Or, I don't know. I've heard all sorts about that. I listened to an interview with Drumbolo Melchizedek yesterday. And he was saying that we'll turn into some 14-foot-tall Syrian-like creatures with big heads.
I'll turn into a creature with big head. Oh, right.
I guess that's ascension.
So, so we all become like the Avatar, in the what they called Nauvoo?
Nauvoo. I haven't seen it for quite a while now.
Whatever. The blue guys. And that we become... All right, so let's go further with this. There's this thing from this guy called Sheldon Neidel, who claims to be from the Sirius A race, and he says that at some point everybody, all our galactic families land on our shores, land on our lawns, introduce themselves, you know, they bypass the government, then everybody does this thing where they go into a crystal chamber and we're transformed into fully conscious humans, which, like you say, may possibly also be 14 feet tall. I could do with being a little bit taller. I always felt a bit short, really, so maybe that would be good. I'll be able to reach up to the top shelf now. If I was 14, actually, it might be. Wouldn't it be a real pain in the ass? You know, you're 14 foot tall, and you go into the house that you grew up in, and
yeah, but we'll make new buildings. I mean, we've got so many things that are suppressed, and we'll be in other energies anyway. And you know, we'll manifest things pretty quickly, probably.
I know, but it'd be a real pain in the ass, wouldn't it? Because you have to go. Sorry, I think my eyes are so pain in the ass. Anyway. That you'd have to kind of like be trying to get into a doll's house, getting back into your house. Oh, I'm just going to pick up my iPod, which is now the size of a match head. And it's got a screen that, you know, your fingers are the width of. Everything, we have to get used to loads of different things. But then, what else? There's the other thing that we all kind of. It's like we shift a level, you know, things on the third dimension become kind of invisible and phase out of view. Have you heard about that? And we have this other world where we manifest everything.
I think the world will still look similar for a while, and then we'll change it. Without vibrations, it will just things that aren't necessary anymore will fall away, and new things will come, and it will just shift naturally, as we're shifting all the time. You know,
all I want is a self-tidying room. That would be really good. You know, as if everything was on a piece of elastic, right? And you take it off the shelf, and after a while, the shelf kind of draws it back on. That would be a really cool thing. So I wouldn't have to tidy up anymore.
Interesting thing to work on then. You need to work on that energetically, and maybe you'll start to manifest those kinds of things in your world.
Yeah, but probably what it means is that I have to make my room tidy on this dimension first.
Yeah, probably. But
dang. So, yeah. And then there's the... prophecies of the... of the ascension, which again, you know, people have tagged on that 2012 is the time that we do the ascension, and then there's the alignments, you know, all these galactic alignments, and we're completely connected with the galactic center. And but the interesting thing is, when was it? Yeah, Christmas Day. What we now call Christmas Day, what I'm starting to call the new solar year day, because that's what it is. Because the sun goes north and stays in the north for 3 days, the solstice, the winter solstice. And the point that it stays there, the solstice point, there's also, it's stationed, so it's the first day of 3 days, that magic 3 days, where the sun is held prisoner in the north, and then is released, or is in fact born again on the 25th, so that's the day that the sun is born. It's just the story of the sun god, or whatever they call it at the time. So we're probably due to have another sun god myth to replace that. Or maybe we might even be intelligent about it and just say, be astronomical about it and say, look, the sun's starting to move south again. That might be nice. So instead of being Christmas Day and all that, it's the day that the sun starts to move south.
Hiya.
Hi. So I'm talking to my son. He hasn't moved south yet. He's still in the bedroom. Anyway, so it's an interesting thing. This whole thing that when you strip it down, and then it becomes like, how come it's the 25th of December? Why shouldn't it be? Why shouldn't the 1st of January be that day? Living in the north of Scotland, we also find that around here there is one village, in fact it's the village where my son and his mother live, which celebrates New Year not on the 1st of January but on the 11th of January, because it's the last remaining Viking colony anywhere in the world is in Burghead, where my son and his mother live. Every year they have this amazing fire ceremony. It's really Viking, where they schlep a barrel of tar through the town, burning tar. You know, they've all got these leather coats on, leather hats and everything, and big boots, and everything is awash in paraffin and tar and aflame. And they carry this thing on a stick, this barrel on a stick, through the streets, and they got staves that come from oak barrels from whiskey production. They throw the wood around, they throw pieces of the wood onto people's doorsteps, and that's like a good luck symbol. And they schlep the thing all the way up to the end of the town, and erect it as a beacon, and throw more and more paraffin and more tar onto it, and until the whole thing is completely awash with flame. It's an absolutely primal and incredible experience to experience this. Burning of the clavy.
Yeah.
Exciting, isn't it?
Kinda.
It's not as exciting as it used to be. They've got barriers now and health and safety people who go around going... And it's very it's a bit tamed now. But anyway, so they celebrate. I digress. they celebrate this thing on the 11th of January, and that's the Julian New Year, and the Gregorian New Year is the day that January the 1st starts. So it would be nice for all the calendars in the world to kind of completely lock back together again and start once more the day the sun is born, which is the 25th of December.
Can I add somebody to the call?
Who have you got?
It's my friend called Sook. He's of We Are Changed Birmingham.
We Are yeah, Changed Sook. Birmingham. Well, there we go.
He was calling in to me. So.
Hello, Sook. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Jeremy.
Salam, how are you?
I'm very good.
Excellent. So, what's up?
Oh,
2012.
Yeah. We
got.
We're still here.
Yeah, this is it. This is what the show's about. The show is 2012. Here we be. You know, what about all these prophecies that said, you know, the world was going to end, or was going to end in this year, or at this year? Can you tell me what your tradition is?
My background, I guess you're talking religiously, or?
Well, yeah, I mean, how were you brought up? I mean, you probably grown out of it, but how were you
brought up? Yeah, I'm brought up in a Sikh family.
Uh-huh.
Parents are quite, they've become more and more religious in recent years, but basically they leave us to our own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or while they encourage us to adopt the Sikh religion, you know, they encourage us to do our own thing, basically.
Yeah. So in Sikhism, first of all, you've got a calendar that has a different number. What's your number?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oops. Sorry.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, because I mean, I was brought up. I'm half Jewish, half Catholic, but I was brought up Jewish, and they have this calendar, which is like at this moment is something like 5,788 or something. You know, it's like this ridiculous number. but I know that Sikhism has got it's more recent than that, and it's, you know, much less than like 1,000 years or something, isn't it?
Well, Sikhism's only what 300 and hold on, in 2001 it was 301 years old, so
right, okay,
so what's that, add another 10 years onto that, so
yeah,
310 years, so
excellent.
It's fairly recent. I mean, yeah. The first guru was probably around about a couple of hundred years before that, so 500 years mm-hmm. at the most.
Mm-hmm. And are there any great change prophecies? Are there any prophecies in Sikhism, do you know?
There are, but it's not part of the Guru Granth Sahib. There's other writings that exist. That talk about the changes, and they're very, very similar to what you see in other cultures as well. They talk about similar kind of ideas and concepts. But I haven't seen a whole lot discussed about those as I have about, say, the, you know, what's talked about in Revelations and that aspect and the Mayan thing. So there seems to be a lot more coming from the Mayan and the Christian traditions.
Hmm. Yeah, well, there was this fellow Nostradamus.
Yeah, Nostradamus,
as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, so there's a modern, you know, about the modern interpretation of Nostradamus is that the Dolores Cannon, who's a hypnotist,
was
getting her people, her patients, you know, not only to go back in their past lives, but also to see if she could use them to channel Nostradamus. And she had this ongoing conversation with Nostradamus through these hypnotized people at the time of Nostradamus. So he was time traveling and using these people to speak to him. Speak to the Dolores Cannon in the present.
Wow, okay.
How
so
cool
is
that?
That's what he was up to when he
That's what she says anyway. I don't know how. I don't know if he. I've not read any of her interpretations of Nostradamus. I suppose it's a bit late really now, isn't it? Now. Did that? Am I disconnected? Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's start again. Uh-huh. So, what has happened?
Are we live? Hello.
Hello, we're live again. Yes.
We're live again.
Oh.
What, live on a radio show?
Yeah. You're actually live, Souk. We've been discussing this. You're listening to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. In fact, Souk, you are part of Ever Beyond. Apologies for that little outage. My housemate just turned off the Wi-Fi, and that turns off. So that all goes in there. Let's hope that. So I'll have to speak a little bit softer, and I'll turn up the microphone a bit. So there you go.
So how would you sum up 2011, Sook?
How would I sum it up? I think things are starting. I mean, in my own life, there've been a few developments in terms of I've tried things that I wouldn't have tried before, like ayahuasca. Looking at being a change as well, setting up a group at the moment it's one thing to have a lot of all of this information and study it, and you know, but what are we going to do with it? So I run a group called We Are Change on meetup.com, and we're now looking to expand that group and provide alternative solutions to a number of different things. So there have been a couple of developments in the last year, which I think are in the right direction. It's trying to help people who are getting on board at the moment recognize that there is something there for us to do, and move past the blocks that the illusions that are being created for us, and take responsibility for our own lives, and realize that things like our health is our responsibility and not somebody else's. So let's not depend on GPs for medicines that are basically poisoning you, because the food that you're eating is no longer real food. It's the ancients used to know that, you know, said that food is your medicine, medicine is your food, but the food is so tainted nowadays that how can it be your food anymore? Or your medicine, I should say.
Well, that's a very interesting point, the whole thing about medicine and taking your healthcare into your own hands. One of the things that we promote on Wolf Spirit Radio is the work of a wonderful lady called Shari Edwards, who is 30 years into a project of treating and healing people with sound, just with sound, and it's using a specific frequency of sound for each of the specific conditions.
I think this ties into Wilhelm Reich's work.
Absolutely, yes. There's Reich and there's Reich, Royal Raymond Reich.
Raymond Reich is who I was thinking of.
Yeah, he used high frequencies, like radio frequencies, but again, specific frequencies to deal with specific things. And it was like, it would work on a particular level, and these audio frequencies work on a very physical level, and so it's an incredible breakthrough, because what it means is that you don't need a toolkit. You could use something no bigger than a mobile phone or smartphone. In fact, you could probably use a smartphone to do the analysis. You could write, an app for your Android or iPod that you could just get somebody to speak into, and it will give them the frequencies that they need to become healed.
I think I've seen something like that as well somewhere else.
It's called Signature Sound. That's the one. That's the one. That's her technology.
Okay.
And she's been giving classes for free, teaching people how to use it for post-traumatic stress disorder, radiation poisoning, GM poisoning, all the toxins that are prevalent in our world. She has a treatment for using only frequency. And she's giving this technology away for free.
Excellent.
She is a wonderful, wonderful lady. So, I try to encourage people to listen to our archive page. If you look at the archive page, you can see that there's a topic which is frequency healing, and there's our collected interviews with Shari and potentially others who are going to be working with healing frequencies. Yeah, there you go. Chris has posted that.
Yeah, I found it quite interesting. I had I don't know which whose it was. I think it may have been the UK sir.
Yeah.
She was talking about making profiles of people, listening to people, and then she can make pages and pages of information on that person from their voice.
Yeah, that's what Nano Voice does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did download that Nano Voice thing, and it does give you a kind of a brief synopsis.
Yeah, this is the free version. She's got a professional version that gives you a much deeper look, obviously. But this is that's where we want to go, you know. So I'm looking for medicine-free healing. And the other thing that I'd really love to see coming up in the next year is the use of other forms of motivation, not motivation, motor drives, you know, singularity drives, magnetic drives, things like that, that are just at the moment squeezing their way out of the Black Ops community and into the
apparently we're
the real world.
Out. I don't know. So, carry on.
Alright.
Yeah, I remember years ago, you know, when I was doing my second degree, we were talking about things like transputer arrays and things, you know, and those kinds of things, and that would have been kind of 84... when I was doing that, so and then that suddenly all that technology seemed to disappear, and I'm thinking, well, you know, as part of my second degree, I was looking at things like this, and it's only now appearing as, in the form of grid computing.
Yeah, well, we.
How much more is, you know, how much further is technology than we, you know, than we currently perceive?
We just get the crumbs.
We do
just the crumbs. And we want some cream now. It's time to get a nice big slice of cake with a nice big dollop of cream. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I think we're just going to have to do it ourselves, because if we're relying on the authorities to share that with us, I don't think that's going to happen. And it's great to see that people are now looking into free energy devices and in a much more concerted effort.
Absolutely.
And you know, putting out a lot of information. I mean, one of the things that we are change are doing is we put out a lot of this information, you know, in the form of sharing as much of whatever we can, whether it's food, energy, spirituality, you know, and anything else. And what you do, I've come to the conclusion that everything is based on consciousness, and which ties into the Mayan idea, and that is just a frequency, and so everything basically is a frequency, which is why you can heal with frequency.
That's right. Elements. Not only is it connected with frequency, but it's also connected with geometry.
Yes.
And a lot of the very complex equations can be simplified when you visualize things in terms of geometry.
Yeah.
And so it's
hyperdimensional. I think they're using now hyperdimensional geometry to predict certain things that are happening on the various planets in the solar system as well now.
Yeah. Definitely with Saturn, that lovely little hexagon that is on the top of the planet. Wonder where that comes from. Somebody, I can't remember who is it, somebody's got a theory that Saturn, oh, it's Jay Wyden, that's right. Jay Wyden is saying that Saturn is a spaceship.
I heard that from, who was that? Hoagland, Richard C. Hoagland, years ago now.
Oh, right. Richard, I'm always wrong, Hoagland. But anyway, we won't go into Hoagland, because he's the subject of big...
I shouldn't laugh about that.
Big finger pointing at the moment. Going on with Hoagland and various others, so I'm going to stay out of that one. where are we?
There's also remote healing.
Indeed.
Through time and space, and apparently it's actually better if you're not in front of somebody, because then you're working with the other person's personality construct. It's better to remote heal from a distance, which is tapping into somebody's energy and feeling where it's unbalanced or where it needs propping up, and then doing your thing with your hands or however you do it, you know, using certain motions and seeing energy and pulling it out and filling in, you know, with white light and such, and that's quite interesting.
Yeah, we've been actually doing some of that. We did some of that on a show. Can't remember who it was that received it and who it was that gave it, but we did a whole big a big energy healing on somebody at one point. I think it worked. Yes. So,
And I think you can extend that idea as well. I think Lynn McTaggart's doing stuff with, healing the planet and peace on Earth and all that kind of stuff, and putting out that intention into the world. And I think Greg Braden said that you only need like the square root of 1% of the target population to have the effect, the desired effect on the planet.
Yes.
So I think, you know, it kind of ties in with that remote healing idea as well, and shifting consciousness.
So I wonder what would happen if we got 8,000 people together, and I don't know how long you'd have to be focusing, and maybe there are sudden ways of off-focusing, so it's not so wishy-washy. If you've got 8,000 people who are really focusing on something for a certain amount of time, maybe something will drastically shift. And maybe it has to be something more specific than global. Maybe we should focus on something where we can actually shift something.
Here's the thought that I've had. The planet has chakras, and the UK is supposed to be the heart chakra of the planet. So I've always felt that, you know, the UK is probably going to play a principal role in whatever, you know, however this planet evolves. So maybe, you know, having 8,000 people in the UK have to do that will shift the consciousness of the planet. So, but, you know, I don't know. It's just a thought that I had a couple of times in the last year, actually.
You know, there's some interesting things about this. The ability to shift things locally, or even the ability to shift things within your family.
Mm.
What you find is that everybody who may sense that they're kind of the victim of the family, you know, will actually be holding some kind of pride or some sort of unforgiveness with the rest of the members that holds that pattern in a crystallized form.
Mm.
And we all do it. It's natural. It's kind of part of the way we are. But
mm-hmm.
simply the act of the person forgiving, even forgiving themselves, but forgiving, which basically means letting go of pride, which is, well, I don't deserve any of that. You know, stuff like that. Those kind of thoughts. As soon as you start letting go of those kind of thoughts and allowing the rest of your family to be who they are, that will change your family.
Yeah.
And that's
and you can't just wish it. You have to really, really want it and really shift it in yourself.
Yeah, you have to be what's that word that everybody uses? Authentic.
Yeah.
You know, and in a way, you have to start letting go of your the pride in your own emotional body, you know, that your emotions are precious and that you have to have a way of releasing.
And also, where is it important for you to keep hold of it? Where did it come into your life in the first place? And work on it on many levels. You know, it's not just usually there are many things tied in, and you've got to keep working on yourself, and it's a real process.
Yeah, there's something that Sophie's just dropped into the chat room. It's lovely because I've also been working with that one. Is like, what was hers? The biggest favour that she received last year was the phrase, "What other people think of you is none of your business." Isn't that beautiful?
Absolutely, and it's really amazing. I think that a lot of phrases that we've heard in the past that, you know, are making more and more sense to me now are things like, you know, the world is a reflection of yourself, so when you change, the world changes.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's where I think by letting go, and I don't mean just letting, you know, and that's what forgiveness is letting go of all of that baggage you hold on to, the world changes for you, and that's why your family can look differently once you've done that.
Mm. Yes.
But this is all, you know, stuff that everybody's known for thousands of years.
Yeah, how come we don't know it by now? That's an interesting point, isn't it?
Well, I think we didn't see an alternative, but now we're seeing a process happening, and we're jumping onto this process, and it's speeding up more and more. And there have been people in the past who had sort of divine guidance, but it's now we're all starting to jump onto this bandwagon. Well, it's not really just jumping onto the bandwagon, it's really making real change, and we know there's real change, and we know there's something to, I don't want to use the word fight, but, you know, something to work towards, and we know it deep inside ourselves, and we're pushing towards, we're finding that truth and expanding it, and we just know there's another way now.
Another way, another truth, another life. Yeah, sounds familiar. I think we are going to realize that we've been brainwashed a lot for a long time, and we're going to have to kind of get out of brainwashing. Now, another word for brainwashing is mind control, and trauma-based mind control. We've been traumatized into this, so we have to. We've been then programmed, having been traumatized. So
we need to love the mirror back together, I think.
Well, yeah, to allow it to kind of, you know, get the super glue out and glue it back to its pieces. Or we can make a pretty mosaic with it, you know. Maybe we can't make something as perfect as it was, but maybe we can make something new that is still perfect. By, you know, recycling the materials that we have. And essentially, the point that I was trying to get to was one of the things that has been put on this year as being is the year of the, hardly ever willing to say it, the second coming, right? Whatever that means. We've all been programmed to believe that there's going to be someone who's going to come. Now it might be on one level, it might be a girlfriend, you know. On a personal level, it means, you know, one day when I get my proper girlfriend, everything's going to be fine, you know. On a larger scale, you know, when Jesus comes back, or when so and so comes back, or when the nasty bad space aliens come back, I don't know. When the return, there's this idea that this year is the year of the return. Again, going back to your Sikh tradition, is there a legend?
Not here anymore.
Oh, he's gone.
His internet, I think, had a problem.
Oh. Probably his dad turned off the broadband, yeah.
Oh, he's back again. I'll add him in again.
Yeah, bring him in. Bring him in, lad.
There you go.
That's cool. Yes. That's another very interesting point, Sophie, to start the year off with what we know is true. And that's another interesting discussion that involves Cliff High. Sook, you're back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right, mate. No problem.
I'm having internet problems here.
Yeah, so I had that one before, so, you know. Stuff like that happens on internet radio. It's like edgy. I like it.
Seems to happen more on radio than anywhere else, I think.
Yeah, well, there's other forms of interference, aren't there? You know, there's kind of consciously directed interference, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Which, actually, what happens to me usually is just cock up in it's a cock up factor rather than anything like that. Actually, coming back to what was just written in the chat room, I think is a really, really, really good point. You know, we've seen all these prophecies. Let's start off the year with what is true. What do we know for sure is true? Not what is conjecture, not what is belief, not what... What is true?
Things are not what they were, and that's pretty obvious. Things are definitely changing very fast, and we're moving to something new. Whatever that is, that's conjecture, but things definitely changing.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me to answer, because I think everybody has their own truth. You know, what might be true to you may not be true for me.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one to answer. I mean, you know, who has the ultimate truth anyway?
Well, let's just have a quick look at, you know, certain truths, right? What is truth? What is fact? What is opinion? You know, because we're fed stuff. You know, people tell us this and people tell us that, and we create belief systems, mm-hmm. Which some people regard as truth, but then other people who are not in the same group, who have the same belief system, don't believe it and don't regard it as fact or truth. So those are things which we can put in the class of belief, you know, but mm-hmm. not truth. So anything that is to do with faith or belief or anything, we can leave at the door. So what does that leave us with? Well, we can see that the sun shines up there in the sky. That's a truth. It's a state. It's a, you know, every single person on the planet, if they stand outside their house, obviously, can experience that, and they see it crossing the sky, and it does the same thing every day, and it moves slightly during this season. So there's all these cycles going on. So we can see that there's a truth in cycles. Mm. We agree in truth in cycles.
I guess that even that can be challenged with the concept of the holographic universe, and, you know, this idea that, you know, I guess the Aborigines would say that, you know, the world that we live in, what we call this reality, is actually the illusion. So if that's an illusion, then is that a truth in that respect then? We may have cycles, but are they just... something that we collectively have created as an experience, and I, you know, so on the one hand, yes, I can go out and we can all agree that the sun is out.
So,
well, we know it's there for now, anyway.
Yeah, yeah, but the other thing is that it moves.
Yeah,
and everything moves, and it seems to have a regular track. Currently,
I think the only one truth that I can think of is that the only constant is change.
That's certainly true. That change is, you know, change is as it is.
And I think the change is there for us to experience mm-hmm. all the different phases. And when you look at the cycles, like the cycles of the ages, whether it's the Mayan or the Hindu or whatever other cultures, you know, the Hopi or whatever, there seems to be a cycle of, you know, the Golden Age and then the Dark Ages, and that goes round and round, and we just get various iterations of it.
Yes, and it sounds like that the Kali Yuga is at its end, and not a moment too soon, or we're witnessing the end of the Kali Yuga.
Yep.
Which is, it's been a bit of a hard time. And I don't know what the name of the, is it, who rules the next Yuga? Do you know?
Is it Dwapar?
Say that name again?
I think it's Dwapar. I'll have to look it up. It's been a while since I looked it up.
Yeah, but it's like the Golden Age, you know, it's a really pleasant time.
Well, the Golden Age isn't for another 13,000 years when we're at the height of it.
Mm.
but we're moving out of the Kali Yuga or Kali Yuga. You know, how fast, you know, how quickly can we expect change to happen?
You have to wait another 13,000 years.
But then again, we have been in such limitation that perhaps this golden age is going to be, is unimaginable to us. So things in 10 years could be paradise to us from where we're at now. Or it could go downhill and then a bit uphill, you know, the darkness before the dawn. But I think things will keep speeding up and become lighter and lighter and will be very interesting.
Interesting.
In a positive way.
Yeah, as in
the point of view of what we're calling positive.
Yeah, not interesting as in this food tastes interesting. So back to our prophecies and our moving from, you know, we're
what
certainly
is true.
What is true.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, you know, one of the things that we can see, even as we were just having this conversation, the Kali Yuga, how did you say that?
Dwapar. Yeah, it means the second age, I think.
Well, all the ages, they're cycles. They're long cycles, but they're still cycles. They're all frequencies. Mm-hmm. And whether we're in a holographic universe or not, the way this universe works, it all works with frequencies. And obviously, if it was holographic, then certainly frequencies would be the means and mechanism of making the whole thing work. So, you know, I think we're all correct on that one. But with what we find is that, you know, it's really only the fact that everything's in cycles and everything changes and everything moves, and it's only our attitude towards it that makes it good or bad. Because it's just moving, you know. You might think that a Kali Yuga might be a bad thing, you know. It might be a good thing. It might sharpen us. It might be like a honing cycle.
I think you know. Sometimes you do need a kick up the backside to make the next step. You know, have the next stage in evolution, and probably that's what this is. It's the impulse or the incentive to you know evolve. Well. If it's a cycle, it's going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly feels like it's giving, you know, an incentive to me in my life anyway to do things differently. You know, I've started growing my own food. Don't take, you know, prescription drugs. Not that I ever really did, but I'm more conscious of it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to. Develop my spirituality not from a religious perspective but from a broader perspective, I think, you know, not tying into any kind of single faith, but taking my teachings from wherever I can, you know, different faiths, different cultures, and, you know, realizing that fundamentally they do teach the basically the same thing. So, you know, maybe it is you know, God experiencing itself in the various different cycles in divided, you know, in individualized form, where we are distinct and separate, and now coming to the realization that we are all one anyway, and moving back towards that cycle.
But maybe we're moving back to the great golden age, which perhaps is beyond the cycles. Perhaps we were at a point where we became maybe a bit naive in a sort of maybe timeless golden age period, and we lowered our energies, and then we came into these cycles, and then we've come to a sort of more a lighter period, but then we've gone back into a darker period, lighter period, darker period. And perhaps Atlantis and Lemuria were just part in that cycle. But maybe we're now, we've got an opportunity now to completely leave these cycles. And I would suggest that maybe we are in a position now to do that. But it's not just the end of one of these cycles that we've come here to maybe transform out of these cycles.
I think we're imperceptibly, unknowing even to ourselves, that humanity as a whole is changing. We're certainly starting to see the effects of that. The Occupy movement and the Change movement, they're one of the more overt effects of this, and it's great to see. And I tip my hat to you, Sook, with your attitudes. It's funny because I was talking to my son earlier on, and I kind of came to the conclusion, really, that I walk around with a post-apocalyptic attitude. That I don't see things as they are, but kind
as
of
they can be.
As if there was no electricity. I kind of walk around, and wherever I go, I see, you know, these machines, and they're laying idle because there's no electricity.
I think we can move into an age where we're no longer dependent on the energy companies. We produce our own energy.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. Because you know, like I say, I walk around with this poker. So the power lines and power cables and huge power, you know, energy systems like industrial units and things like that, they don't exist anymore. Or they, as I said, are laying idle and are sort of subject to being recycled at any one time, and that people have their own way of producing energy. Interestingly, all right, I'm going to blow my own trumpet here because my hand started to hurt a lot less, and I can focus a bit more. But my I discovered this year that when I was 14, I invented something. I didn't realize that I'd invented it at the time, or even subsequently. But very recently, there's a technology that is being brought out that is called radiant energy. Have you heard of this, Sook?
Oh, yeah. That's what we're working with in terms of the free energy devices.
Yes. Now, it doesn't work in the same way as other free energy devices in that it needs to have a power source. It needs to, you have to start off with a charged battery.
Yeah.
And but you see, when I was 14, I was playing around with a relay, and I thought, you know, how do you make it buzz? So I wired it up to make it buzz, and I was very pleased at the fact that it was buzzing because that's all I wanted to do with it. But then I discovered that when I touched two of the poles, I got a hell of a belt out of it. You know, I got an electric shock.
I've had that experience.
I thought, oh, that's fun. So I attached a couple of wires to the ones that to these live conductors, and then took it into school. Because you know, I'm that kind of guy. I was the kid with all the stuff in his pockets, right? And so I pulled this out of my pockets one day, and I got one kid to hold it, and then a whole group of us, and then another kid to hold it at the other end of this line, and we all held each other's hands, and I turned on the machine, and everybody was getting a belt through this whole system. And so I thought, yeah, that's a pretty incredible amount of energy that's being put out here by this tiny 9-volt battery.
Mm.
And I was really excited about it. I thought, oh, yeah, hey, yeah, look at this. And I went up to the physics teacher, and he very dryly, and oh yeah, we call it back EMF. Yeah, it's an annoyance. We get rid of it. I was really crestfallen. I thought, oh yeah, I just invented the new age. No. No, no,
it's always
no.
It's been there, we just haven't recognized
exactly.
It.
Exactly. So, last year, right, you know, I'm poodling around on YouTube and, you know, I'm always looking at the free energy devices and suddenly, radiant energy, and it comes from the collapsing pulse of the coil, and the, you know, the pulse comes through the thing, and you route it through a diode, and away you go. So
and dissipate it.
Yeah, and but instead you can run it through a battery, and it will charge up the battery.
That's right.
And I think that's the nature of this thing, the Bloom Box. Is that right?
Well, I don't know. It's the Bedini. What's it called? The SSG. The simple. What is it? I can't remember what it's called. Bedini. This is a website, Tom Bearden's website called Chenier.org, which has got all that information on it. Simple schoolgirl generator, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to generate a couple of simple schoolgirls. Did I say that? No. it's a cheap joke, that's all. It's just a cheap joke, just a line. Anyway, so yes, this Bedini fellow, he seems to be running along the same lines, and it's all about the collapsing field coil and the there's another device.
And harnessing it.
Yeah, and just channeling it. What in the past? Because this thing happens in your car.
Yeah.
You know, the spark that is created by the coil and everything. It's actually the atoms of the coil that have are diminished by this process, and it's the energy from the atoms in the coil that create this extra energy. That's where it comes from, the atoms in the coil. So what you're actually talking about is a form of atomic energy, but it's highly safe. There's no radiation involved, and it's just this lovely little pulsing motor that is created. And I'm really glad to be among the kids who piddled about with relays all those years ago to do this. Now, we have another guest, and I'm going to bring him in. His name is Thomas Hughes, and he's in a state. Let me just add to call. And he's in a state called Texas. Where are you? Oh, he's hung up. There we go. Don't call me back. Where are you? Right.
Okay.
But yeah, he'll be in there soon. We'll bring him in.
Well, we've got a few people that are trying to work on that principle. We're just having difficulty getting enough batteries together to you need a bank of 48 batteries so that you can charge 24 while you're depleting the other 24, or taking out the energy out of the other 24, so you can cycle it and run all your electrical appliances. And this is again, if you know, the videos are on chenier.org, and it basically shows you how you can build this. It's a very simple concept.
Is it over unity you're talking about?
It's called by various different things. Mm-hmm. Over unity, energy from the vacuum, radiant energy. And Nikola Tesla played around with this stuff as well.
Yeah.
You know.
This particular branch is called radiant energy. When it's dealing with a spark, basically we're talking about a little spark that jumps across the gap.
Yeah, but I think it ultimately comes out of the same concept.
Yeah.
Sorry to interject, but I think it fundamentally is the same thing.
Yes.
In different forms.
Interesting.
So that's great. So here I'd like to welcome in Mr. Thomas Hughes. Are you there, Big Yin?
Yes, I made it.
You made it. We've got 20 minutes to go. Anyway, well, that's fine. So, Thomas, you're over in Texas.
Yes.
You're in a state. Are you in a state of inebriation yet?
I'm in a state of waking up. I had a very nice nap this afternoon.
Oh, jolly good. And it's 20 to 5 in... is it 20 to 4 or 20... 25 or 26, where you are?
It's 20 till 7.
20 till 7. All right, you're further east than I thought you were. Okay, well, basically the topic for this show is 2012. Here we are. And the question is, we've heard lots of prophecies, and some are ridiculous, and some are quite possible. What do you think... of the prophecies that you know, and you know, I know that you're connected with many Turtle Island indigenous nations. What's your take on the prophecies and more importantly, their likelihood?
To make a very general statement about it, basically every prophecy you've heard is going to come true. For someone, or some group of people. It just depends. That's why I have said for the last 2 years, it depends on what's in your heart. What are you carrying with you that you might want to take a look at? And because, you know, if you come from a place of fear, that's what's going to come for you. And if you come from a place of love, that's what's going to come for you. If you have an understanding of things and how they work, then you'll probably sit in your living room reading a book and not even realize anything's going on. And if you are addicted to the news channel or propaganda channel, there's no telling what may come through the door to visit you. Figuratively speaking, of course, but seriously, just about every prophecy you've heard is going to come true for one group of people or the other.
So, thank you for being really, really general, Thomas.
Well, I mean, what can I say?
But
there's people that dismiss or don't pay attention to the Hopi prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been spot on.
Yeah. Now, do they actually mention a year?
No, they do not. But for the south of them is the Mayans. And, you know, as you know, they wrote that calendar 4,600 years ago. And what goes with that calendar that they wrote, there's two teachings that you never hear about in movies, documentaries, or anything else. And you have to do a bit of research to find this. You can go to shiftofages.com, which is
Greg Braden.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mayan elders helped form that website to dispel some of the untruths or distortions that are being said about the calendar. But one of the teachings, the whole reason they made that calendar is because their understanding is that creation is not complete. And it's going to take one more surge of energy into this reality in order for creation to be complete. And the teaching goes with that calendar is that everyone has from 2012 to 2019 to figure it out. Well, if you do the math, 2012 to 2019 is 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I went into a bit of a Tourette's fit myself, because I don't like referring to the Bible as badly as it's been hashed and hashed and rehashed and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But 2012 to 2019 is 7 years. And
the Bible loves seven-year things.
It's right, and the only teaching I've ever found is trials and tribulations and revelations, which will last for 7 years.
So are we moving to a greater golden age? I mean, are you talking about the end of these cycles?
We're coming to the end of the the precession of the equinox, which has been occurring currently for 25,920 years. That's what we're coming to an end of, and a new precession of the equinox will begin. One Mayan calendar has already ended, the Zolkian calendar, and that's the two-count calendar, which is a 260-day calendar for the zodiac, and a 360-day calendar, which is for the physical year. The two interact, and it shows what days, what sign of the zodiac is interacting with that day, and what things to do or prepare for, or how to live your life in accordance with nature around you. That's why they had that calendar. That calendar ended on October 28th of this year, that calendar ended.
Last year. It's now 2012.
Well, you're right. I'm sorry. Last year.
I know. We'll get this for a whole week before people realize that. Is it actually 2012?
My question was really about, you were saying that this is going to be the last input of energy, or however you put it. And I was thinking, maybe we've gone through all sorts of golden ages for a long time, but these were not the real great golden age, which is perhaps beyond these cycles. And perhaps we dropped into these cycles, but now we're almost ready to move out of them.
Yes. And I've consulted with Scott Mandelker and had him as a guest on my show, and we've talked about this. He came to his awareness through Buddhism, is how he arrived at his awareness of what's going on and what's happening. He talks about the Earth being a schoolhouse, as all planets are schoolhouses. And the end of the semester is coming to a close. And the interviewer asked him, what happens to all the souls that don't make the grade? And he smiled and said, off to another schoolhouse. So there will be some of us that stay here, and there will be some that will not. They will go off to another schoolhouse to continue their cycles of... Exactly. The soul progression... soul rebirth or reincarnation or transmigration of the soul, whatever you'd like to call it. There's several terms for a reincarnation. They will continue to do that until they have learned everything they need to know about living in a physical body, because that is the main reason that any of us are down here in this frequency of living, is to learn how to live life as a physical being. We already know how to live as beings of light. We already know how to do that. So it was a new challenge that was put in front of us, and that's why we're here and why we continue to be here.
You don't think it's about evolving past that then?
It is, and it depends on the law of free will is always observed.
Mm-hmm.
And then so... In saying that, you know, souls can elect to stay at these frequencies and continue to live lives like this if they really enjoy it. There are many souls that have gone on already. They've already ascended, if you want to use that word. They've already graduated to another level of existence, and they don't have to come here anymore.
So are we going to, is the Earth going to split into two, as some people have suggested, or are people going to move on, as in dying, or perhaps both?
No, there is no such thing as dying. The concept and definition of the word that only applies to the skin suit or the shell that we are in right now, no one ever dies.
Mm-hmm.
You simply go on. And if you watch a movie, Avatar, it's a training film. It really is. And there's one statement that comes out quite a few times in that movie. It's when he says, one life ends, another life begins. And it's just that way. So when this life ends, another one begins. And you don't ever die.
Mm-hmm. So wherever your vibration is, that's where you will go.
Yes.
It's where you already are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, basically, what it seems to be saying is that for some amazing and magical reason, there will come a time very soon this year where those of like vibrations will be divided into like planes or something like that, where everybody who has a vibration of one kind of frequency gets to get their own planet.
That's what I'm wondering. How will this start to manifest? Will we actually split into two worlds eventually?
That's what a lot of clairvoyants have been seeing since the early 70s. Annie Kirkwood is one of my favorites. She describes seeing the Earth as a ball, and then the Earth began to elongate in the center and become very thin and very bulbous on each end, and eventually it stretched to the point where it separated, much like a cell going through mitosis.
Right. Mitosis, yeah.
And it eventually separated, and there were two Earths that she could see. And everybody on the new Earth, she could hear them over there hollering loudly and celebrating, "We made it! We made it!" And she looked over at the old Earth, this Earth that we're still on right now, and everybody over there, she could hear them saying, "Poor souls, they died really believing in that stuff." So the two worlds are not even aware of each other.
So it's like a bifurcation point that we arrive at.
Yeah, the information that's come through me, which I have happened from time to time, this is the last separation of humanity. So everybody needs to be very careful or particular about the choices that they've made, because you're not going to be able to have a foot in both worlds, which most people have nowadays. They like to play the good guy, you know, Christians do one good deed a day, whatever the case may be, and then the rest of the time act like delinquent children. Well, you're not going to be able to have a foot in each world at that point anymore.
And that's kind of consistent with the Hopi prophecy, isn't it, where we're on parallel tracks at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah, and that, again, I know you don't like to go to the Bible, and I, for one, also have the odd trouble with it, but it's eminently quotable, but because it does talk about this thing where one will be taken and the other one won't.
To be honest with the Bible thing, I'm beginning to be more open to it, because there's so much in there that never used to make sense to me is all making a lot more sense now.
Let me just say, the reason I've had so much problem with it is because most of it they have distorted so badly, there's very little left, but there are nuggets of truth in there. But you have to really do research to find them. And so they always talk about, they really play heavily on the duality of the reality that we live in, because the duality is positive and negative. And if it was explained that way and everybody understood it's positive or negative and the two must be balanced all the time, that's a true challenge that lays in front of every human being every day, is balancing the positive and the negative, not being too positive and not being too negative, but balancing the two. We wouldn't have near the chaos and confusion that we have on the planet right now. But every once in a while you do find the nugget of truth in there, and that's... I cringe when I find the nugget of truth. I'm like, here we go again. Sorry.
But for me, that's become the real revelation, is that any of the teachings that you look at, the ancient teachings, that it's all there.
Spot
and
on.
It's just our and it's how we've colored that interpretation. And it's for us to now, you know, reevaluate all of that and see that, yeah, this all does make sense.
I want to... said something publicly, but I haven't said publicly.
Uh-oh.
It's not scary or anything, and it is a little crazy sounding, okay? There are stories amongst my people, the Americas Indians, North and South America, about this land that we came out in, because we talk about coming from the hollow earth. A lot of our history. And it goes back a long time when this occurred. And we came out in the mountains of Central America. I believe it's the Acadia Mountains in Central America is where we came out at. That's what they're called now. But there is, you know, every Indian language from Canada to Argentina have such similarities that they all came from the base language. So at one time, all the Indians on North and South America spoke one language. There is one nation of Indians called the Cree Indians in Canada that have pretty much kept their original form of language. And there's a website on it. JP, if you'd like me to, I can provide the link for you to put in the chat room and peruse yourself. It shows how the Cree Indian language and ancient Hebrew are nearly identical. So when a Cree Indian dancer was over there in Jerusalem doing ceremony and in his full regalia, a rabbi and a Muslim stopped him and asked him some questions, and then they asked him to speak in his native language. So he did, and both the gentlemen got very wide-eyed, and the rabbi said, "You are speaking in the ancient language that we only speak when we do ceremony, and that's the only time we're allowed to speak it." And he said something in Hebrew, and then the Cree Indian answered him in Cree, because they understood each other. They spoke basically the same language. There's some slight variations as it would change over time. So, the rabbi looked at the Cree Indian and said, "You are our long-lost brothers." And so, with the stories that we have in our own history, and the stories you look at in the Old Testament about the Exodus that was led from Egypt by Moses, and then 40 years wandering in the land until they came to the Promised Land, we're pretty sure that this was the Promised Land over here, what we called Turtle Island, North and South America. And so Indians that have been subjugated, destroyed, and enslaved, and whatever other term you want to put on it, it's, you know, the same old song and dance from thousands of years ago with Moses leading the Hebrews out of Egypt.
Of Mitzrayim. Listen, it's time.
Okay.
Brothers, thank you for sharing that, Thomas. That's I think this is going to be a very important part of this next year, is we're going to see the liberation of the indigenous peoples of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the tables are going to be completely turned. From the interviews that Thomas has done this year, I've been honored to be part of. It's an incredibly positive message for indigenous people on Turtle Island, on Australia, on New Zealand, everywhere where the Roman British Empire has stomped. The grass is starting to grow beneath the footprint now. So, thank you very much, Chris Vortex. Thank you very much, Souk, from... what's your organization? What's your
We are Change Birmingham and Midlands.
What's your website?
Well, I don't have a specific website at the moment. It's we're on Meetup. It's called meetup.com. We are Change Birmingham.
Right.
But we're also working with Heart and Space as well to expand the kind of thing that we're doing as well. So
listen, give me your phone. Heartandspace.com. After the show, give me your details, and we'll do a show together, okay?
Fantastic, yeah.
Okay, that'll be I'm involved with LET systems and all sorts of great things. So, Chris Vortex, Souk, and Thomas, thank you very much for your input this evening. It's been a very interesting...
Happy New Year to everyone.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's right. I also have to wish everybody from the heart of the Wolf Pack. We'd like to wish everybody a Happy New Year, 2012, in the Gregorian calendar. Happy New Sikh Year. Happy New Julian Year in 10 days' time. Happy New Chinese Year in, I think it's 21 days' time. You know, just Happy New Year. Well, just be happy. Just be happy.
Sounds good.
Happy Year. Happy Year. There you go.
And so...
Happy New Age.
Happy New Age. So, with my little outro tuning going, again, from Wolf Spirit Radio, thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back on Tuesday with Project Information Generation 2 with Dave Corso and Roger Silver. Beyond. 2012 and beyond. Good night. God bless you.